Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Jim, yesterday our bad martini was this pretty lame budget that the president rolled out, not addressing entitlements, calling for a record $1.65 trillion deficit in fiscal year 2012. Really the type of budget that backs up his vow to get tough on spending. Although the fact that he's ramping up spending so high, his discretionary freeze actually looks small in comparison. So he's touting that as the smallest since the Eisenhower years. The good news here, though, is that left, right, and center pretty much either believe that the president totally made up what he said in the State of the Union address or just isn't serious one way or the other. And it's not often you actually see left, right, and center actually agreeing on something. But for the most part, other than Democrats on Capitol Hill, that's the conclusion.
Yeah, and let's face it, Greg, basically they have to defend this. they really can't come out and say, hey, you know what? You're right all along. Obama's terrible on this issue. I particularly enjoy the fact that you saw such enormous overlap between the Washington Post editors declaring that Obama had punted on the issues of the deficit and the debt, and the editors of the Wall Street Journal, and perhaps one of the best titled op-eds in a long time, declaring that this was the CeeLo Green budget. Besides the fact that this musician's name makes it sound like we are seeing low green, as in not seeing much money, which makes sense. Greg, I'll give you the clean version for our listeners, but boy, the not clean version fits this too. The clean version of CeeLo Green's popular song is Forget You. The alternative is another word that starts with F.
Right.
And that was basically, they say, that is Obama's response to the demand for less spending that we saw in the November elections. And it that seems to really seem to be the circumstance, that Obama doesn't really want to reduce spending that much. And so he's willing to, you know, say, oh, look, we mocked him yesterday for coming out with the spending freeze and acting like that was really going to do a lot to reduce the deficit. The fact that he doesn't touch entitlements, the fact that he basically kissed off or threw under the bus his own deficit reduction commission. I mean, Greg, how much drama went around that deficit commission? How much of a big deal? How much debate did we see about who was going to be on it and what kind of recommendations were they going to do? And was Congress going to enact the recommendations? And it was all a waste of time because, you know, Obama wasn't even willing to pay the political price of following his own commission. So there's a kind of fascinating sense of so many folks waking up to the fact that probably the runaway entitlements and runaway spending is the single greatest threat facing the country. Mitch Daniels is using the phrase red menace to describe the amount of red ink we're seeing. And President Obama doesn't want to deal with it. And so his approach, as I suspect, is to kind of close his eyes and hope that sometime in the next year or two you see a huge economic turnaround that increases our revenues and that things turn out better. His budget makes a fairly unrealistic expectation about how the economy is going to rebound. And if there's anything we've learned from the Obama years so far, Greg, it's adjust your expectations downward accordingly.
Absolutely right. And it goes to prove once again what we said a few days ago, maybe a couple weeks ago now, even though there's a vast difference in what exactly the spending cut priorities ought to be, even Democrats have come on board now that that's the way that these budgets are going to come back into line. We've seen it from a couple of governors now that they're embracing spending cuts over tax hikes. And it seems like Obama might be the last Democrat, at least the last executive Democrat in any position to really still be embracing the old school liberal approach to all this. So we'll find out. The bad news is very much in connection to all this, and that's that our debt now, and this is the official debt, not the unofficial debt, where if you factor in all the IOUs and everything else, it's way higher. But now the debt is the same size as our economy. Congratulations, American. Congratulations, Washington.
You know, I want to give you the most menacing and frightening interpretation of this. I mentioned it in the Morning Jolt, and it comes from a blogger by the name of Lexington Green, who basically is saying that the Obama non-response to the deficit is a very, very deliberate move, that this is not him being befuddled. This is not him being frozen in indecision. This is actually a deliberate political strategy, which is to basically replay the 1995-1996 government shutdown with Boehner in the role of Newt Gingrich and Obama in the role of Bill Clinton, and to essentially make the Republicans be the party of all of these unpleasant spending cuts. Basically, he's placing a bet that the American people aren't that serious about the deficit and debt, that they would like to whistle past the graveyard, that they'd like to kind of close their eyes, pretend that it doesn't exist, and he will use this to cruise to re-election in 2012. And he suspects that if the Republicans flinch, if the Republicans basically manage to realize that it's a losing argument, that they're going to pay a severe political price for being the party of austerity and the party of Scrooge and all that, that they will retreat, that they will back away, and then the Tea Parties will be mad as heck and abandon the Republican cause. And then with that divided opposition, liberalism will reign triumphant for 1,000 years. I exaggerate slightly, but it's that menacing and scary. And I read this last night, and I didn't want to write the Morning Jolt anymore. I just wanted to go on a bender because it was a scarily plausible scenario. We got to hope that everybody in the House Republican caucus is you know, stiffens their spines, and not just that, that they can win a communications fight with Obama,
right,
in which he is essentially promising free ice cream.
Exactly.
And the Republican message has to be there is no free ice cream. And obviously that's not a fun message. It's not one people are inclined to want to hear. But arguably the fiscal future of the country depends on these coming months and arguably year of whether or not the American people are serious about the deficit.
Yeah, this really is up to the American people. But I think from what we saw in the Obama poll numbers, specifically on the deficit and the economy, his overall approval numbers not doing that bad right now compared to where he was at the midterms. But on the deficit and on the economy, it's still in the tank. And I think Americans do understand this. Even a liberal state like New Jersey is very receptive, it seems like, to Chris Christie's plain talk. And if we can get a plain talking presidential candidate and John Boehner and even Mitch McConnell, or hopefully somebody instead of Mitch McConnell in the Senate, making this argument, I think it'll go over relatively well. Americans may not want it, but the independents pretty much voted for Republicans because they're concerned about the economy, and I don't think they're going to buy this, at least not in the numbers that the president is counting on. And by the way, I think it was just after the 2008 elections that James Carville thought the Democrats had a permanent majority for the next two generations. So that 40 years tends to turn around pretty quickly sometimes.
Yeah, 40 more years now available at your find remainder bins everywhere.
Exactly right. All right, on to the third martini now, and there's no topic that two young men in their 30s are more qualified to talk about than this, and that would be breastfeeding. The First Lady is on her crusade for a healthier America and obesity-free America, and now she is encouraging breastfeeding because it lessens the chance of obesity, apparently. And also, she wants to have the IRS, and the IRS apparently is going to be instituting tax breaks for mothers who nurse. Jim, I don't know how the government's going to verify this. After the TSA program, I shudder to think.
If touching the junk was bad enough. You know, Greg, as a father of two guys, I do feel a little slightly more qualified to comment on this. And the thing that I would note is that now that both of my little guys are past the breastfeeding stage, sure, now they help out breastfeeding mothers. Sure, thanks, Mrs. Obama. I have two opinions, but one opinion is stronger than the other on this. My first opinion is I am very pro-breastfeeding. I know there are a lot of, you know, harried mothers out there who – breastfeeding is a messy and not fun process, but it's a lot of great benefits for the health of the child. So I'm one of those guys who says, look, you know, if you see a woman breastfeeding in Starbucks, the store manager should not give her any grief. We don't need special zones for it. We don't need breastfeeding and non-breastfeeding sections. Everybody just grow up and let the mother do her business because she's already got enough grief and aggravation she's dealing with as is. However, despite believing that breastfeeding is a nice, wonderful thing that's good for children and should be done when possible, I don't think we need to use the IRS code to start trying to influence social policy in this area. And it's one of those things where the you know, if a great deal of government, you can find all kinds of good causes to spend money on, and you can find all kinds of good things to give tax breaks. And this is how you end up with a tax code that's longer than Encyclopedia Britannica. Not every good thing in life needs a tax benefit, and not every bad thing in life needs a tax penalty. And it's one of those things where I wish Mrs. Obama, even though I think perhaps her heart is in the right place or the cause is good, we don't need to take care of every little iota of social and health matters through the tax code. In fact, I would say when it comes to good health, the tax code is probably among the very least effective doctor's tools you can get. So I hope the government reconsiders this. It's one of those things where, look, guys, secure the border, kill terrorists, take care of the really big, you know, catch criminals, do all the really big things, and then we can worry about whether breastfeeding moms are paying, you know, a fair tax rate.
Reduce the debt. When the debt is actually gone, yes, then we'll discuss this. That's the deal I'm willing to make here. So, Jim, as usual, bizarre way to end, because that's how we always do in that martini, but that one I think especially bizarre. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday.
Looking forward to it, Greg, and I hope they promote this one. Jim and Greg talk about breasts.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Karumbas of Radio America. Please join us on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.